Through the best and worst of times, we have Jesus. Now we come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray, and let us be reminded that he loves to hear our prayers. Father God, we come to worship you. We come to claim that you are our God. We come to say that we know that Jesus died for each one of us. We know he is our Saviour. And Lord, we want to see your church and the message, the good news of salvation should be spread throughout your world. Lord, we pray that all those who seek to spread your word will know your power within them. And we pray that your church will be extended. We pray that people who are in authority will be given your wisdom. But more than that, Lord, we pray that they may come to know you in faith if they do not know you already. And we pray, Lord, that they will want to serve you and the people that they are working for. Lord, we pray for our own country. We pray for the people of England. And Lord, we are all inspired by this young lady that has now won the American the American what?
Open.
Open, yes. And Lord, we thank you for all that inspires us. But Lord, you inspire us most of all. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with our families and friends. We've heard today that both Rita and Paul have had a fall. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to be their strength, that you would keep them stable. We know that Richard is only with us today because he had to come back for an appointment. And we pray, Lord, that they will continue to realize, find the problem and cure it that he has in connection with his eyes. Lord, be his healer, we pray. But Lord, we bring each one of you. We may not name you now, Lord, but you know, as we bow before you in prayer now, you know what our own prayers are, and we bring them to you. And we ask that you would be with our families and friends, that you would be with us in our sorrows and in our joys. Be with us, Lord, when we are not feeling strong. Be with us, Lord, when we're ready to go for you. But Lord, bless us. Keep us close to yourself and help us always to live lives that please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us say the family prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. And now, you can tell that Richard is young. Because I was told he doesn't know the next hymn. And I have to admit it's a very oldie. But it's very applicable to the message today. Lord, thy word abideth, and our footsteps guideth.
Treasure by thy word.
Hugh, Jill, Jilly. There is an introduction to it, but the reading is actually starting at verse 3, I think, yes. Oh, right. Hmm?
Presumably, Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. Thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed. Now the next song. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
I wonder whether you have noticed anything different about me today. Don't you say it, because you know. Yeah, right. I haven't used any glasses. I've lost them. We went before they closed to Asda and Tesco's. We went in the cars that I'd used or been taken out in. Can't find them anywhere. I don't use them for right, but I do for reading. No, couldn't find them anywhere. But in middle afternoon, Eunice and I did go to Sainsbury's, and I'd forgotten that. So on my way home, I'm going into Sainsbury's to see if I left them there, because Eunice went to the chemist part, and I went to find other things that we needed before we left the home. So whether I put them down there, we won't know till I get home. If not, while I'm away, I might have to get some new glasses. But what Eunice has done is she's put it even larger than normal at the last moment. So forgive me if I hesitate, but the message, the truth, and the first point is the test of truth. And from John chapter 17, verse 17, he says this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So then, we must be concerned with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Paul once made the same point strongly to Timothy, who was called to lead one of the most influential churches of the first century. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. That's the point that Paul is making to him. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know, many of the great revivals of the past have begun with deep reverence, great joy, fresh love, and spontaneous praise. But some have withered away due to the neglect of God's word. You cannot neglect God's word. The roots hadn't gone deep enough. Perhaps even worse, movements which began with the Spirit went off at a tangent and later proved disastrous. There are many what we would call false prophets about today. It is the church which bases its life, or it should do, upon the obedience to God's word, especially to the written word. The written word in Scripture. That is likely to see the power of God at work if we live by God's work, provided, of course, that the church is also dependent on the power of the Spirit and the Spirit's guidance. So, the test of truth. Number two, truth experienced. We all need to experience God's truth. Acts 6, it's in verse 7 and 15. The word of God spread, and many who heard it came to faith. They came to faith because of God's word proclaimed in that early church. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked on one occasion intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face looked like the face of an angel. There is a story of three visitors who came to one service, and afterwards one of them wrote to the pastor. And this is what they said. One of the most wonderful things was to look around at the faces of the congregation. They were so relaxed, so absorbed, so open and content. And of course, all this created the most incredible, tangible atmosphere. They go on to say, we all felt it very... I knew this was going to happen. They all felt it very much. And the lady said, I would never have thought that I could go to a service, here it comes, lasting 2.5 hours and still have been quite happy to stay longer. It seemed to us to clarify so many things for us. She says, if any doubts we had before your service, all that it gave to us showed us that we have quite decided about the reality of Christ. All because they went to a service where the word of God was proclaimed and acted upon and taught. You see, she could see the truth that was experienced by the people, their faces, which reflected the inner peace, freedom, and joy that they had from being faithful to God's word. Now, the Acts of Apostles is full of men who experience the truth. In his preface to the book, J.B. Phillips writes this. These men did not make acts of faith. They believed. They did not say their prayers. They rarely prayed. They did not hold conferences on psychomatic medicines. They simply healed the sick. The Spirit of God found what he must be always seeking. The Spirit of God needs to find a fellowship of men and women so united in love and faith that he can work in and through them, through us, with the minimum of hindrance. So, truth that is not experienced is no better than error and may be as fully dangerous. The scribes who sat in Moses' seat were not the victims of error. They were victims of their own failure to experience the truth that they had already been taught. Number three, admitting the truth to others. James 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Acknowledgement of sin in the presence of another brother or sister is a safeguard against self-deception. It is a curious fact that it is invariably easier to confess our sins privately to a holy and sinless God than openly to an unholy and sinful brother or sister. If that is true, we must ask ourselves, writes Bonhoeffer, whether we have not been deceiving ourselves with our confession of sin to God. Do we do it because, well, we're not doing it in one sense in his presence. He's not there facing us when we confess. But if we confess also to a person, it can be much harder. So, you know, we need to be careful, in other words, how we act. Whether we've been confessing our sins to ourselves and also granting ourselves absolution, that is not good. It is not according to God's word. And is not the reason, perhaps, for the countless refugees and relapses and feebleness of our Christian obedience to be found. Because we find it easier to tell God, but we can't own up to telling the person we may have upset or whatever. This is perhaps why James, in the context of open confession to another brother, gives the assurance that any sins committed will surely be forgiven. So even if we're confessing a sin to someone else, we might find it hard. Someone perhaps who's hurt us very deeply, and we forgive them, we might find that very hard indeed. But you know, God will still honor that plea for forgiveness. Once sin is brought out into the light, it can be forgiven and forgotten. It's just like our sin with God, isn't it? Once we come in true repentance to God, our sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, etc. Gone forever. God does not hold it against us. So, the power of sin has been broken. It can no longer hold the believer in bondage or tear a fellowship of believers apart. The sinner can honestly be a sinner and still enjoy the grace of God and the love of the brethren. This is the moment when fellowship in Christ rarely becomes a profound reality. So, do we need to obey James' instruction with regard to some wrong in our lives? Have we wronged someone that we need to say, I am sorry to? How important is God's word to us? Because let's be quite clear. It is the truth, and we need to obey it and to live by it. In my own ministry, when in London, had a ministry in the area of Earl's Court and of Charing Cross Hospital. And from both places, people came to our services who proclaimed that they were gay. Now, as far as we're concerned, they were very, very welcome. And we trusted them, we sought to give them true Christian fellowship. But also in the course of teaching, we had to tell them that Scripture says same-sex partnerships is not according to God's word. But it had to be done, dealt with in a loving way. But in welcoming them, we couldn't, we shouldn't just ignore the fact that it disobeys God's word. I've been very taken by a book that I've been reading. The title is God Anti-Gay? And the person who wrote it, was a homosexual, a gay person. He came to the Lord in faith, and he is now the associate minister of a church in Maidenhead, not far from London. And he says that he has to say in his book that the word of God does not allow marriage of the same sex. And I remember that with my ministry in Earl's Court and Charing Cross, the nurses in Charing Cross Hospital brought a lot of friends. Some of them were students in the hospital, medical students, and some of them were gay. And one day, one of the nurses, very experienced and good Christian, said to me, "Bruce, you need to be careful." I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, you're getting too friendly with them, and they're beginning to think that you are in favor of what they're doing." It was like a smack around the face, to be honest. There was I trying to make these people welcome, because God wants us to, he loves everyone. He loves every gay person in this world. But his word says there is only one kind of marriage. It's clear in the New and the Old Testament. And it says that is between man and woman. That's not me speaking. That's God's truth. It's there firmly. What do we do if it's broken? Well, you know, we've all lived lives that probably weren't what they should be. But what we've got to do in future is to try and live in accordance with God's word. But I will say this, that any church that has a gay person coming in and rejects them or makes them feel uncomfortable is also against God's word, because that's not, God loves them, but he wants them to live the kind of life that as believers scripture says we should. Right, now I've chosen a hymn that nobody knows. The tune is not easy to sing if you've never had it. So what we're going to do first is we're going to read this hymn together. This is the one in your service sheet. starting in the first line, "These are facts, we have received them." These are the facts as we have received them, sorry. So can we read this together? "These are the facts as we have received them. These are the truths that Christians believe. This is the basis of all our preaching. Christ died for sinners and rose from the tomb. These are the facts as we have received them. Christ has fulfilled what scriptures foretold. Adam's whole family in death has been sleeping. Christ, through his rising, restores us to life. These are the facts as we have received them. We with our Saviour have died on the cross. Now, having risen, our Jesus lives in us, gives us his Spirit, and makes us his house. These are the facts as we have received them. we shall be changed in the blink of an eye. Trumpets shall sound as we face. This is the victory through Jesus our Lord. These are the facts as we have received them. These are the truths that Christian believes. This is the basis of all our preaching. Christ died for sinners and rose from the tomb. And now we're going to sing one you will know. Jesus is the name we honor. Now we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We recall that when Jesus met with his disciples before he went to be crucified, at the end of the meeting, he took bread, he took wine, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." For us today, the bread is a symbol of his body given, broken for us. The wine is a symbol of his blood. I do not believe that it changes as we eat or drink it. It is a symbol of the very precious body and blood that was given for our salvation. What a sacrifice. God's Son, who came without sin into a world of sin, came in love. He taught love. Many people listened to him, but he knew all the time what he was going to face, the cruel death of crucifixion. He was spat upon, he was nailed to a cross, he was ridiculed, but he died for you and for me. What a tremendous sacrifice. And we must never belittle what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. So let us pray and thank God for the bread and wine, but particularly for what they symbolize. Let us pray. Father God, you are a wonderful God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that as a fellowship, we can know the presence of the Spirit within us. We thank you for the way that the Spirit guides us. We thank you for the way the Spirit empowers us. We thank you for all that the Spirit gives to us. We thank you, Father, that in your great and wonderful love, you sent your Son Jesus, knowing that he was to come and give his life for us. We remember Jesus met with his disciples, and he even knew that one of them was going to betray him. But he still sat with them, and he took the bread. He broke it, and he said, "Eat, do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, and they all shared the cup together. And he said, "This is the new covenant, my blood that is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you, O Lord, for your wonderful love. And now as we take and celebrate as Jesus has asked us to do, let us remember most of all that it is Jesus who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that may that be our very action now. We eat the bread as it comes. We drink the wine all together. Then, as we know, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This," said Jesus, "do in remembrance of me." So we hold the cup that we might all drink together. So let us drink together in remembrance of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you not only died on the cross for us, but as you had promised, on the third day you rose again, and we worship a risen, living Saviour. And we rejoice, Lord, in that fact. And we offer our lives once again in our Redeemer's service. Take us, Lord, and use us in accordance with your will. In your name we pray. Amen. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. We sing together. us stand and hold hands together and share the grace. Yeah, we are. We are the fellowship of believers, are we not? Right, let's say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, we've got to sit down again now.